Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome to the Muslim Philanthropy Podcast. My name is Ola Mohammed, and I'm the Nonprofit and Social Impact Fellow here at American Muslim Community Foundation. I am so excited today to have with us as our guest, Bishara Nassar, the Executive Director of the Museum of the Palestinian People. Bishara, thank you so much for taking the time to speak. Welcome to the show. Absolutely. We have all been watching carefully what's been happening in Palestine over the past few weeks. And although they announced a ceasefire last Friday and things have kind of died down from some of the headlines, we know very well that the Palestinian struggle is not over at all. And I think something that has become very, very important over the past few weeks is the Palestinian narrative. And you are the executive director of an organization that's all about the Palestinian narrative. So we'd love to take some time to talk to you today about the Museum of the Palestinian People and what you do to promote that narrative and to get the Palestinian voice out there. So once again, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. And if you can start us off by just telling us a little bit about how the museum got started and what it does, and please let us know also if it's open and what exhibits are available.
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me here, and assalamu alaikum for everyone who's watching. Yeah, so just to introduce myself to the audience, my name is Bishara again, and I am a Palestinian. I grew up in Bethlehem in the West Bank, and I was born in Jerusalem. And, growing up in Palestine under the Israeli occupation, and with my family as well, who's been constantly threatened for their farm to be taken away. So my family has a farm that's just outside of Bethlehem, that's surrounded by five settlements. And I have seen, really growing up, my family struggling to keep the farm from being taken away by the settlers, by the occupation. And that really inspired me to really think about how can I help and how can I do something to share the story, to uplift the Palestinian voice. And, coincidentally, I actually came to the United States to do my master's degree, which was in conflict resolution. And the first place I came to D.C., to the U.S., was Washington, D.C. And as a tourist coming to the city, I was really impressed by all the museums, monuments, and memorials. And you, as you know, the city of D.C. is famous in museums and the Smithsonian's, right? And that really impressed me. But one thing that was missing is the Palestinian voice, the Palestinian story. And we all know that, as Palestinians, or as Arabs, or as Muslims, right, our stories in the U.S. is being minimized, all right? So we go in the news and we see Palestinians are victims, or Palestinians are violent, right? And even recently, if you go on Google, I was shocked to see this yesterday, that if you go on Google and you Google what terrorists wear, and the Palestinian kufiya shows up. And that is really, really disturbing. And exactly why this museum is very important, and why, the Palestinian voice is important in uplifting the Palestinian story and what's going on, but also uplifting the Arab and the Muslim story in the United States. It goes hand in hand, right? And so that's how the idea started. We didn't have a space to tell our stories in Washington, D.C., and we started with really very small artwork, working with artists in Palestine and refugee camps in Palestine. And we managed to bring their art to the United States. That was in 2015. So that's how the beginning of the project started in 2015. So it's 6 years ago. We started as a traveling exhibition. That traveling exhibition grew to travel around the country. We went to universities, we went to colleges, we went to community centers, we went to mosques, we went to churches, and slowly we formed a 501c3, we formed the board, and we slowly got a space in Washington, D.C., and we were able to open to the public in June of 2019.
Wow, so very recently. That's great.
Yes.
That's so great. I love the idea that you started as a traveling collection of exhibits, because I think that's great in terms of accessibility and exposure. So you traveled the country. What was the response when you did that? What are some of the states you visited, and how did they receive the idea of a museum for Palestinian people?
I think the idea was well received. I mean, we started getting, once we had the first show, which was in Washington, D.C. in 2015, as far as I remember, you know, we started getting a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls saying, you know, especially from, to be honest, from groups that interested in Palestine, you know, like I would say not the normal American, but more like groups who are, whether are Palestinians or groups or like Americans mainly who are interested in Palestine, or, you know, people from the Muslim community and Palestinian community saying, oh, you know, this is such an interesting idea. You want to create a museum in Washington, D.C., come display. And so, you know, we went to we went to Virginia. We went to Roanoke College in Virginia. We went to Manhattan College in New York. Actually, we went to colleges, a couple of universities in Indiana. We went to California. So we really went around, and the response was really, we need this museum, this is important, and we want this museum to succeed.
Yeah. That's great. And then once you opened your doors in Washington, D.C., what has the reception been like that? Of course, it sounds like very soon after you opened up, the pandemic happened. So how did that affect the museum? And you've mentioned that you've reopened now. So what can people see?
Absolutely. So I just, you know, really, really what we want is really for the visitors to come to the museum and dismantle the walls that we create between us as human beings, right? And especially, as I said, like being a Palestinian in the United States and as well as Arab and Muslim in the United States, there are certain kind of stereotypes that in general Americans create about Palestinians, and we want to dismantle that. So we want people to connect with the Palestinian people, with our story, with humanizing who are the Palestinian people beyond the borders we create between us, beyond ethnic differences, beyond religion, beyond the differences, right? And so we want to show Palestinians as artists, as entrepreneurs, and as people, not just in Palestine, like a faraway country, right? But we want to show Palestinians as part of America, right? And that's especially important to American audiences, right? What we're trying to reach is really the mainstream American audiences, right? At the same time, we want to empower the Palestinian community to share their stories. That's a very important part. But we want to really reach out to Americans and show them and say, hey, look, we have one or two Congress people, Congress, right, members in Congress, right? So we have entrepreneurs, we have artists that you should pay attention to. What was the question again? Did I answer that or?
No, I think so. I, you know, about the reception of the museum, but yes. You know, what we were saying, Bishara, made me think of, you know, asking you, are there programs in the museum beyond curating Palestinian art or cultural artifacts? Are there programs that you do to establish this this story and, like you said, to relate to the American people?
Yeah, absolutely. So We have we so we do have exhibits that we do to we change. We have a permanent exhibit, first of all, in the museum that shares the Palestinian culture and the Palestinian history, who we are as Palestinians, right? And that's a very important part for us to show, and not just artwork and say, oh, hey, these are Palestinian artists, come and see them, but also that's important. But as equally important is really to have our history, right? The Nakba is very important to us as Palestinians. I mean, if you ask any Palestinian, that's the kind of the main influencing event that like really shattered the Palestinian identity and created an identity that was different before and after 1948. So that is one thing in the museum that we highlight is the Nakba. Who are the Palestinian people? The occupation, what is happening right now, but also most importantly, the resilience in the face of occupation, right? Really, like as I said in the beginning, like we are viewed also as victims, right? But we want to show to the world and to Americans here that we're not just victims, but we are resilient people. We are doing so. Connecting it to your point, our events really on our programming. For some of our programs really focusing on how to show Palestinians as resilient people, right? In addition to that, we have a lot of whether documentaries that we show on weekly basis. We have artist talks. We have like conversations with Nakba survivors. We just did one 2 weeks ago because there was the Nakba day in May, I think May 15. So we do have a variety of programming. One of the interesting programming that we actually are doing is we are working right now on an exhibit that will intersect or highlight Palestinian and Black stories and Black artists, because we want the audiences to come and connect these two together, right? We want to show that it's our struggle as Palestinian is not different from what our brothers and sisters in this country are dealing with, you know?
That's really great. That's really powerful. I think a very important connection to make. And I love some of the things you mentioned. You mentioned you're open Saturdays, right, for anyone in the Washington, D.C. area. Is that correct?
Yes, we are open on Saturdays from 12 to 6. From anyone from DC, Maryland, Virginia, New York, Pennsylvania. Many people travel from New York or far away to come actually to them. Even from California, we had visitors.
That's
But
wonderful.
also, we also have a virtual museum.
Very cool.
And that we developed that during the pandemic. And so anyone who can't visit the museum can go on our website, which is mpp-dc.org, or just Google Museum of the Palestinian People and go there, and we'll see also the museum virtually.
That's wonderful. The pandemic, made a lot of things difficult, but it's also pushed a lot of organizations to go online, which is great. So that's great that reach now is much further. And I love what you mentioned about resilience and highlighting the resilience of the Palestinian people. And I think you probably have no shortage of images, that we've been seeing now in the news and in social media. I remember seeing the picture of the family, a family celebrating a little boy's birthday, of a mother cooking on top of the rubble. The birthday party was also on top of the rubble. So many powerful images of course, destruction and hurt and tragedy, but then at the same time of Palestinians being on top of all of that and being very strong, and like you said, being able to overcome and to say we're getting up and rebuilding, we're continuing our lives. So that's a very powerful message. And I'm so glad that there's a place that highlights and curates and preserves those kinds of stories and images. So you mentioned that you have, of course, your work is ongoing. it's been generations. It's not something that's come out of the blue, what's happened over the past few weeks. But I would like to know from you if the museum has had any specific response to the events of the past few weeks.
Do you mean like events that we did or like organizing?
Yeah, absolutely. Or if there's anything you've highlighted in the museum in response to the events in the news. Or have you just been continuing kind of your line of work and bringing attention to the cause?
Yeah, absolutely. For us, I just want to say that there are so many Palestinian organizations in Washington, D.C. and around the country, and especially in Washington, D.C., that focus on advocacy. They are working very hard. You have the American Muslims for Palestine. You have U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights. These organizations are really doing a lot of great work in advocacy, going to Congress, and doing a lot of organizing on the ground. Now, as a cultural institution, we also are contributing to that by sharing what is happening, right? Sharing the stories. And as a cultural institution, it is our duty to keep sharing what's happening in Gaza in a way that will touch people, right? Like instead, for us, what we decided to do during this, the war on Gaza or the assault on Gaza, is that we highlighted stories, specific stories of what people are dealing with, and also stories of their resilience, right? Instead of just saying, becoming a news station saying, oh, this is what happened, 100 kids were killed. We were featuring some of these stories that coming out of Gaza that shows the struggle and the resilience. So we have actually, once we started doing that, we were picked up by several celebrities around the world, which is really inspiring to see. This is the first time that this happens. We had some celebrities from the UK and some celebrities from the United States. Some are Americans and some are Muslims who started sharing our stories on their stories, and they have thousands and millions of followers. And some even said, oh, you should donate to this museum because it's impacting how Americans viewing Palestine, which is our goal, which is really to transform, really our goal in essence, is really to transform how Americans see Palestine. That's it, by sharing the culture, by sharing the art. And so that was really inspiring, something that we started a campaign, the social media, on especially on Instagram, that was very effective. And the other thing, we just hosted an event on the Nakba with the Nakba survivor that focused also on the continuous Nakba. And Nakba in Arabic means a catastrophe, right? That happened in 1948. But for us, it continued, right? And so we focused that event 2 weeks ago on the continued displacement. And I believe this is our job as a cultural institution. We cannot engage in political way as advocacy or Congress, but we can keep sharing our stories and we can engage in a cultural resistance, let's say.
Absolutely. And that is just as important. And that's perfect. That's exactly what I was asking about in terms of response, that would be in line with the mission of the museum. And it's so great to hear your commentary that celebrities have picked this up and are sharing your story. Yeah. Like you said, it is absolutely a struggle or an effort to get that story out there. And I think we've seen this time around, yes, the Nakba has been, for more than 50 years now, but this the story of this Palestinian people, like you said, we haven't seen it penetrate the mainstream yet. And I feel like there's hope this time. We never know, but I feel like there's hope this time for making more headway in that direction, because really you've seen a global support for the Palestinian voice in ways that we haven't seen before, and those images and those stories coming out. So that's absolutely great. So if someone wants to be part of that support for you and the Museum of the Palestinian People, what would you advise them in terms of how to support, other than visiting, of course, if they're in Washington, D.C.?
Sure, of course. Yeah, I mean, we have, thank you for the question. You know, we have a lot of ways you can support the museum. One way is as you said, first visit the museum. This is so important. If you're in Washington, D.C., please, please come visit the museum. We want you to come and see it. That's the first thing. We have also volunteer opportunities. We usually, one of the things that we are emphasizing on as a museum is that we are about conversation rather than presentation, right? And what I mean by that is that we want visitors, when they come to the museum, to have a conversation with us and to engage in a conversation about Palestine, right? And engage with conversations with Palestinians as well. So we have docents opportunities, where docents mean like a tour guide for the museum internally, right? And basically we have people, docents who take visitors on a tour in the museum, sharing stories, showing them the artifacts, showing them the art, and talking to them about Palestine, I mean, what they see in the museum, basically, and Palestine, right? And so we have opportunities like that, volunteer opportunities to become a docent. We also have other volunteer opportunities to be part of the museum, whether it's organizing events, organizing fundraisers, organizing talks. So that's one way. And also, of course, you know, we welcome donations, right? So I am right now the only full-time person in the museum. We have the rest of us, we have another part-time person also, and the rest is volunteers, right? So we want to grow the museum. We want to grow our capacity as a staff. And so we also have a campaign called the Resilience Monthly Club Campaign. And it's a way to sustain the museum. It starts at $19 a month. And it's really a way to sustain the museum for years to come.
That's great. And I hope that our viewers will check out your website and check out some of those opportunities. They all sound great. And you're definitely an institution that I think we all need to support, because like you said, you paint not only the Palestinian narrative, but the larger Muslim narrative as well. I wanted to step back a little bit, Bishara, and ask you a more general question, especially since you said you are the executive director and you put a lot of effort and time and vision into the museum. If there is someone out there that's been moved by the events that have happened in Palestine, or a young advocate, and wants to know what they can do, you know, you shared your story of what inspired you to make this museum. What advice would you have for them in terms of entering the nonprofit field or advocating for the Palestinian cause in specific?
What advice? I think it's easy to get frustrated, you know, first of all, anyone entering this kind of field of, you know, advocacy or sharing stories or nonprofits in general, you're talking about nonprofits, it's very easy to get frustrated. But I say, you know, just stick with it, right? Stick with it. There are so many opportunities, right? That if you're looking for to be involved, whether as a volunteer or as a career, there's so many opportunities in the nonprofit world, especially in Washington, D.C. And I think the easiest way is to start as a volunteer or as an intern, and that way you get that experience. And you can get there. Or if you have a big vision, like I came to the U.S., I had a big vision of creating this museum. You know, don't give up. Keep at it, and things, you will find the resources. You will find the people who, and will attract. You will attract these people that will support you.
Great advice. Thank you so much for that, Bishara. Before I wrap up and talk a little bit about how our viewers could support you through AMCF. Do you have any other general reflections about what's going on in Palestine or anything else you want to share about the museum?
I mean, it's the situation in Palestine is heartbreaking, and I do have a very personal connection. I like my family is there, right? And my family is still in Bethlehem, dealing with a lot of things. You know, as I said, my family farm is still being threatened every day. So it's, I mean, just I wanted to say it's heartbreaking to see with my family. And I think we really need to be speaking up about what's happening. We saw, and which we saw actually recently, that so many people spoke up, so many, even media started sharing more. We really need to continue doing that. We can't stop at this point, because even if the ceasefire stopped, our families, our friends are still struggling under daily occupation, under discrimination that continues. So we don't want to get into like a habit, or like say whenever something happened, we kind of rise up and then we cool down, right? I don't think that's my final message, is that we really need to be consistent in our effort, and whatever you can do to help, to be part of, you know, Palestinian cause or Palestinian, whatever, you know, just do it, you know, but any small part is helpful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Bishara. And, you know, you said it so well. I don't think I have anything to add to that. And I hope that people do keep the momentum for the Palestinian cause and for any cause they're passionate about. And one way that they can do that very sustainably is with something called a donor advised fund that AMCF offers. And if you open a donor advised fund with AMCF, it basically allows you to donate and support up to hundreds of nonprofits that are in our directory, one of them being, of course, our good partner, the Museum of the Palestinian People. So I want to share that with our viewers. If they're not familiar, it has tax benefits. They're able to pass it down to loved ones. It's a great and strategic way to support nonprofits, your favorite nonprofits across the board. And right now, of course, Palestinian organizations, many of them need our support. So if you'd like more information about that, check that out under the donor tab on our website, amuslimcf.org. And of course, feel free to reach out to us with questions. Bishara, I cannot thank you enough for your time, for your insights, for sharing your story. That's very powerful. And I hope that your family continues to stay safe, but for their sake and the sake of the Palestinian families that continue to hold strong to where they are, I hope that there is progress made on this cause, and it's not just a momentary rising of support, as you said. Thank you so much, Bishara, and we hope to continue the conversation with you in another time. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you.